it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It is Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions right now. We're talking with a band called MTR Project. These guys are all hanging out in Soto Pop area. Actually, minus one member who is a guitar builder up in Bellingham. So before we jump in, who are we missing? And they might be coming into the meeting via Zoom. Who are we missing?
Well, we're missing Andy Beach right now. He's our lead guitar player, fundamental player,
yes.
Integral to our sound. So we're really hoping that he comes on. Right now, he's just having trouble getting the link started. But
good old technical difficulties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Dave just said, he works with wood, you know.
All right. Well, let's go around the room, starting with you, man. What's your name and what do you do in MTR Project?
My name's Martin Thomas Reed. I'm a lead singer and rhythm guitar player for this project.
I'm Dave Reese, the bass player.
Yeah.
Got Mike Hummel on drums.
Brody Reese, rhythm guitar and official drinker of root beer.
Oh, nice. All right. And so, Martin, you are the MTR. This is your project.
Well, yeah. Without the guys, then I just kind of sound like a busker on the streets, you know? So, the project is the capital letters. If you look at our logo, we put MTR as the undercase because we're greater together. Mm-hmm. So the project is a different thing than is if I were to go and do a solo show.
Okay.
It's better.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot louder, too.
A lot louder.
Yes.
I got these guys.
Yes. So the so let's get the origin story, guys, in comic book terms, you know, like who met who, you know, when and had you guys played in bands before? Who wants to throw in kind of a synopsis of how you guys all met and started playing together?
I'll let Dave take that.
Cool.
Yeah, Martin found me on Facebook and started messaging me. It was an almost a nightly thing at 1 a.m. I was like, who is this guy? And he's asking about my past. I started in a band called Malfunction.
Yes.
With Andy Wood and Kevin Wood, mm-hmm. Reed Hagar. And so he's asking me a lot of stuff about Andy and had really intelligent questions. And I was playing in a band already with Mike Hummel, the drummer. And so we ended up doing some shows with Martin's other band. And Mike turned to me and said, that guy's really good. We should do something with him. And I said, hey, give it about a month. And sure enough, we all got together and we right in this room and started playing and we clicked immediately. And we tried out another guitar player, didn't work out, but he added to our sound. So mm-hmm. then I brought in Andy Beach, mm-hmm. Who was Zach Wilde's guitar tech for years with Ozzy, yep. Built 30 guitars for Prince, including the one he played in the Super Bowl.
Crazy.
And he was a college roommate of mine. And I said, hey, Andy, I've got a new project. So I brought a phone recording of the three of us playing up there and took about 8 seconds in where Andy said, yeah, I'm in. And
that's awesome.
Then we went from there. We got Brody, my nephew, on rhythm guitar. He came out of School of Rock and now he's ready for the big time. So he joined us. And now we have a designated driver, too. So that's good.
Yeah, that's very needed, you know. And the good thing about this crew is we've got the thunder on the sticks. We've got Mike Hummel. I remember watching Mike when I was in my former band, Carnelian. And I was like, holy shit, man. And the way that he walked in. Sorry about that.
S-word. No worries.
That's
no worries,
probably
dude.
Cool for the radio. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not live, dude. No worries.
So these guys, the way they lock in together, it was so, I mean, charismatic. They have fun. Yep. Their chemistry is there. And that was something that I remember just dreaming about having behind me, you know, since I was a kid, mm-hmm. you know, where I didn't have to think about my timing, where I had other people yeah. behind me that just found that groove and stuck in it. And that's what we have here. Actually, when we found Andy Beach Ice, I got on my knees and kissed his hand like a king.
He did. Yeah.
He's a freaking king. I was like, thank you for joining our band. And he was like, whoa. And then when we recorded the album, he turned around, got on his knees, kissed my hand and said, dude, straight back, straight respect. That's so we awesome. Have that same level of respect for everybody in this band. Like everybody is integral. There's no throwaways, you know?
So how long have you guys been playing together then?
2 years.
Two years?
Yeah.
Cool.
I keep saying three. Yeah. All right. Well, two it years. Feels like three.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic started, yeah. right?
We got one show in and then the pandemic shut everything down.
Oh, yeah.
And we went in to record a demo and, it sounded so good. We released it, and that was our EP, and that did really well. So then we went in, and we went up to Andy's house, and in his woodshed shop where he builds all those guitars, we recorded our album, which is just released now. So it's on Spotify and at yeah. mtrproject.com. If anyone wants to buy it, we'll yeah. send it out to you.
That was the first week I played with the band, too.
Also, we can't forget to mention that there are a few songs on our album that was recorded at our friend Greg Bilderbach's Fully Exposed Scream and Opposing Voices. Or actually, Opposing Voices was done in this room.
In this room.
This room right here. But that was with Patrick Gray, amazing engineer, the guitar player for Francis Nash, also one of his former bandmates.
Awesome.
We keep it in the family.
Yeah, we've already got to work with a bunch of amazing people. Don Gunn has mixed all our stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. Yeah. So it's really come together. Mike's a veteran of the Seattle rock scene, so he can pick up the phone and call anybody. which we need that guy.
Speaking of veterans of music, look, Andy's about to jump in. I just admitted him to the room, so he's connecting to audio now. We're gonna chat with Andy here in a second. Brody, I have a question for you. So if your band gets a 21 and over gig, are you able to go?
It depends on the situation. So that's happened times in the past. Most of the time, it's like I'm just hanging backstage. We've played a couple of cool venues where, you know, they just hooked me up, set me up with a table or something. Yeah. Hang backstage, get on stage, get off stage, that sort of thing. Other times, they just have a designated area that's cool. But I get through most of the time.
Cool, man. Right on. Well, Andy, what's going on, man? I think you're muted. You muted yourself, Andy.
You just got to look for the microphone there, Andy. There's a microphone somewhere on there.
All right. So anyways, guys, since venues have opened back up and everything and shows are happening, have you guys been able to play more shows?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, man. We've done shows and we've had shows canceled. And mm-hmm. it's been kind of, you know, we're all in it together. Everybody's been so grateful to be together again. Yes. And we lose shows and everybody's like, okay, let's just reschedule as soon as we can.
Yep.
And we're doing it. Everybody's communicating together. But, you know, it's like the rest of the world, man. It's in flux constantly. And so, you know, we're trying to be safe. You know, we don't want to be a super spreader event, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But when we've had the ability and everybody's been safe and we've been able to make sure that everybody's, you know, vaxxed coming into a show, we're in and we're doing our shows. And we've had some great shows, man. Played a huge show down in the Spanish Ballroom.
Yes.
In Soma, that was fantastic and a lot of fun. Had a couple shows after that we had to cancel. And that's just, you know, the world we're living in right now, right? So
absolutely. Andy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Great, man. What's going on, bro? Thank you for joining us.
What's happening down there?
What's going on, man? So how's life up in Bellingham? How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. It's busy, busy, busy. All kinds of crap going on, but we're doing good.
So why don't we shout out your guitar company? What's your company called?
It's Dehager Guitars.
Awesome. Right on, man. You do custom work?
That's what I do, man. Everything's custom order, one-off, one. Everything's custom made for that person, you know, everything down to, I mean, whatever you want, man. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
your band kind of filled me in on your resume. Some pretty cool people you've worked with, doing guitar tech with Zach Wilde and then making tons of guitars for Prince. It's got to be a pretty cool gig, man.
Yeah, I really love what I do. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. So tell me a little bit about, from your perspective, joining these guys. How did you get joined up with MTR Project?
Oh man, did Dave not already tell that story?
You tell it.
Yeah. From your perspective, why don't you tell me how you got acquainted with all these guys?
I think they were desperate.
Oh yeah.
You know, Dave and I go back, I don't know, back to 83.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ish, 84. I went to college and met him at Shoreline Community College, and we developed a great relationship and a strong friendship. And we were in several bands together. He just found a tape of an old band called Airstrike that, oh my God, I can't believe he had that thing. Jesus God almighty. But
1985.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, I was still pretty experimental at that point. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, you know, so over the years we just kept in touch. You know, he did what he was sought out to do. He started doing, you know, the sports stuff. You know, being the producer for sports and stuff like that. That's what he went to school for. Is badass.
Mm-hmm.
And the years go by and stuff, you know, I went and toured with Ozzy and did all that crap and did the Prince stuff and kept making guitars. And we just kind of stayed in the business. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when Dave and Mike met Marty, you know, they're just, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do for a guitar player, you know, for a lead player or whatever. And well, one day, you know, Dave just goes, hey, I'm going to bring this guy up. I'm like, all right, let's see what this guy's got, you know, whatever. And so Marty comes up here and we're hanging out or whatever and drinking a beer and all this kind of stuff or whatever. And then he, you know, he starts singing. And I just kind of went, oh, what the hell is going on here? So I just kind of went, okay, what's next? And it kind of just went from there. So it all starts with Marty's voice and his message. And that's kind of what this whole thing started from. And we all believe.
Awesome. Cool, you know, man. Well, it's good to know from your perspective to fill that in kind of. And Marty, so, it, you know, it all with what Andy said, it all comes back to your voice. I got to ask, when did you recognize growing up that you had a strong voice to front a band? When did you first realize that, you know, you had the pipes?
Oh, God, I think it was when I realized I was never going to be as good as Andy on the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I had to find that I knew I wanted to do music the rest of my life. I've always approached the guitar kind of like, you know, with like a vocal, you know, where I'm just trying to find the melody. And I realized at that point that, you know, my heart sings, you know, and so I started translating that song that was in my heart up here. My mom is a vocal coach too. Was really prolific back in her day for her genre, which was opera. She won solo ensemble for the nation when she was 16 for a national competition for a high school.
Yeah.
But she knows her stuff. She knows how to sing.
That's awesome.
And I remember sitting on the side of the bed and her telling me, you know, the simple, the, like when I sing Simple Man and If You Do This, it'll help you, you know, Some Sunny Day. Those words resonate with me because I sat there with my mother and she showed me how to sing. She showed me how to use my I was probably 12 when I started doing that with her.
That's awesome. And,
yeah. Wouldn't change it for the world. You know, she gave me a lot to look forward to. And the hope of the music, I was telling one of my coworkers today, keeps me clean and sober. I got 4 years off of heroin. Wow. You know, I do drink.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got to say this, man. I think that the big thing here is the voice and the story go together. And that's something that Martin's not kind of touching on right now, that it needs to be talked about, because I think that it's the thing that is the glue that puts it all together. Right. So, Martin, you got to dig into that a little bit deeper, brother.
Okay. All right. So I lived on the streets of Tacoma for 10 years, Seattle, Everett, the Puget Sound. It was my living room. And I mean, there's not a street that I can't walk down. So I wrote a song. There's not a street. Let me finish that thought, that I can't walk down without feeling a sense of I've lived here, you know, in almost the entire city of Tacoma, most of Seattle, all of Everett. And so I had a man that loves music come into my sister's, she was working a restaurant job at the time in Monroe, and the man saw her crying, and she said, he said, what's wrong? And she says, well, my brother's out on the streets. He's addicted to heroin, and I think he's going to die. And he said, well, does he want to get clean? She says, oh, of course he does. He says, well, what if I put him through one of those celebrity rehabs, not one of those bullshit, Obamacare, nothing against the care, but the facility itself.
Sure, it, sure.
Like you're in jail, you know, like I didn't end up in that situation. I ended up in a place where I was shown a different side of life, and the hope returned. I mean, he told me, you know, I'll record you all these things, which never happened, but it put a light in a very dark place. I didn't have any light. I didn't have any hope. And once that light was there, it was more powerful than anything else. And that's all I see. I mean, I'm constantly berated with cravings, but yeah. I always am able to deduce it to, is it worth it? No, it ain't worth this. Like, I mean, are you kidding me? I got a dream team around me. It's not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we write the music. I write the lyrics, most of them. He wrote Bourbon and Bad Breath. But, and we, that's what it's about. For instance, the song that you'll be playing One Day Closer to Tomorrow is, if I fall down, I'll pick myself up again. I'll be all right. And that's the message, is that's what we're doing. It's just showing people that it doesn't matter where you're coming from, as long as you start today. You just have to start today, right now, actually. Like, not, you know, absolutely. The moment is now. So that's what we're all about. And love.
Yeah. And we believe in Marty. That's the whole thing.
Yes.
It wouldn't have ever got off the ground if we didn't believe that in what he was doing and his message. And what a powerful journey that, that we joined on. It's kind of amazing every day that I'm a part of it. And I always tell Martin, you know, I stand next to him on any stage, do any interview with him. I mean, his message is powerful, and we all believe in him. And that's how I was able to get Andy in the band too. Immediately, and Mike and Brody, we all did. And then his 10 years busking on the street, he's got quite a catalog of, experience to draw from for material.
And which is something we need more in this world, right? More of people doing this together. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We all got to be supporting each other more than ever. I don't see it a lot. And it's,
he's got a support system of brothers, man. That's an awesome.
Exactly, right?
And exactly. I don't want to, you know, get too much into this, Dave, but like, being that, you know, you've been through a lot as far as addiction with the people in your past bands, you know, obviously being in Malfunction, and we all know what we're talking about with Andy Wood. And it must be incredible to be on the other side of that and be able to boost someone up outside of that addiction.
You know, I went for a long time thinking they could never make it out, because I didn't know anyone that made it out. They'd survive for a while, but they all died.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Andy Wood thing was, it, you know, it took years and years before I could even think about him. You know, it was, it was crushing. And, but then when I met Martin and his drive and his positive message and all the crap that he's been through, I mean, the stories he tells me, I see, you know, just send shivers up my spine. And, but he always comes out with this positive attitude.
Yeah.
And that's something that I needed in my life. And I was like, here's a switch. I needed to bring the heroin addict into my life.
Yes.
To make my life better. And it's been amazing. Now we live together.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. How about that?
That's amazing. Awesome, dude. Well, we're going to go into one of the songs. This is the first song that we're going to feature. It's called One Day Closer to Tomorrow. Do you guys want to say anything about the song before we jump in?
This song's cool.
Yeah.
Andy wrote the rhythm guitar parts. We wrote it in here. As long as it takes for me to sing the song is how long it took us to write the song. That's best I could say. It was just straight from the heart. Yeah.
Sounds pretty organic, man. All right, here's One Day Closer to Tomorrow. It's MTR Project, Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
Yeah!
Again, I pick myself up again. I'll be alright.
MTR project one day closer to tomorrow here on the Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. And man, it's been awesome chatting with you guys and like getting honest and real and vulnerable. And I just wanted to acknowledge it's not easy to share the stuff that you guys have shared, you know. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you for being honest up front and bearing your soul and telling me the truth about, you know, your guys' bond. And it's awesome. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we love it. It's kind of we're spreading Marty's message now. That's part of what we do.
And I think it's a bigger message, man. It's Marty's message, but it's a bigger message, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we got a little message, but the bigger message can go on and on and on. And we all need to be talking about all this stuff together, right? And yes. And not be talking about stuff. So
mm-hmm. I love it.
Communication is key. You know, when you have a band that is tight knit, you know, it becomes that family unit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have a family before the MTR project. I had, you know, I have family members of blood, but not any. I haven't experienced people having my back like this in my whole life. And I mean, I got to say that right now. It's pretty amazing. So
that's amazing, man. Well, I'm glad I could, you know, feature you guys here in this show. And you know, I have a few questions as far as like influences and like, you know, what you know, kind of like your interest in music and stuff. But my first question for you guys is, what are some of your favorite venues to play in the Northwest?
Well, half of them are gone.
Oh. Yeah. R.I.P. Right?
The Dave and I, you know, in the 90s and all the 80s, 90s and all the stuff we had going on in Seattle. Half of them are gone, and it's sad. That's the hard part of what's going on right now. There are still great clubs, you know, but you know, all the clubs in Pioneer Square we used to play, and you know, Dave could talk about Gorilla Gardens, and you know, all these clubs we played growing up.
Velvet Elvis.
Yes. They're gone. It's really tough, man. So I the one thing I would say is more clubs, please. But, you know, it's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, we had a great time at the Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma. Oh,
great place, right?
Yeah. We played the Royal Room down in Columbia City, and that was fantastic. High Dive.
Yeah, great place.
High Dive.
Well, one place I've always played is Tony V's Garage up in Everett.
Yeah. Tony V's.
Shout out to Tony.
I think my favorite place to play, and it's not a big venue, it's
the Kingdom.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That was before I was even old enough to hold a guitar. Come on. All right.
What do you got, Marty? Chat
West Side Stories in Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
It's a cool spot. It's a little bar, but she is probably my favorite person that owns a bar. So
yeah, talk about a person that treats the artist well. Very well. Very,
that's
very
awesome.
Good. Slim's Last Chance.
Yes.
Slim's Last Chance is awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to play there next. The 19th. The 19th.
Yeah. And this dude are playing on the 18th.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jules May. Where else do we have to play?
Anywhere will take us.
Anywhere.
Because COVID has been so weird, right? So half the time it's like you got a gig and then it's gone. So, you know, but yeah, you the basics, right? So
I dig it, man. Okay. Well, so in the last couple of years, obviously everyone's had, you know, difficult days, crappy days, up and down and whatnot. But, you know, music can always be something that, you know, can either decompress you, get out your anger, get out, you know, lift your spirits or anything like that. What's an album that's like a standby that you can go to after a long day? And Andy, let's start with you, man. What's an album you can go to put on and it'll either, you know, lift you up or calm you down? What's a good album for you, Andy?
Van Halen, Fair Warning.
Nice.
That was my answer. He took my
all day long.
He took my answer, man.
Brody, you were gonna go with that one too?
Okay.
Oh yeah, we all love that.
I got a different one.
Okay, what do you got?
For me, it's if I'm getting out of town, it's a sunny day, I'm putting on the Who live at Leeds, and I'm going to crank that thing to 11. I think it's the greatest live album ever recorded. And if I got to get away from a bad situation, Who live at Leeds, man.
Awesome. Dave, what about you?
Well, we talked about it before we went on the air. I'm Sean Smith. Yes. Anything that Sean Smith did, he was in a band called Al Hail the Crown with Mike. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite albums of all time. But I can put on any Sean Smith music and it makes me feel good.
R.I.P. to Sean Smith. Yes. All right, Marty, what about you, man? Last but not least, what's an album you can go to and we'll get you in a good spot mentally?
So before Mammoth WVH released mm-hmm. their album, which is my number one go-to right now, it was The Cult, anything The Cult.
Yes.
I love Ian Astbury. By far one of my favorites. But especially after taking a second listen to Epiphany by Wolfgang, that young man can sing. It's yeah. so damn good.
That whole album is great.
He is really good.
What's your favorite Northwest band of all time? And it could be bands that are long gone, bands that are still with us, small projects you've played with, you know, anything. And Dave, let's start with you, man. Favorite Northwest bands or bands of all time?
Malfunction, and then into Mother Love Bone.
Yes.
The Andy Wood stuff. My first band was Malfunction. I saw Van Halen in 1979 with Andy Wood. And about the second song, I turned to him and I said, "Hey, that's what I want to do." And he said, "That's what I'm going to do."
Yep.
And so he started forming a band. I borrowed a bass and a bass amp and I showed up at the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And they said, "Great, Dave, you got a bass. You're our bass player." I said, "I've never played before." And Andy said, "No, that doesn't matter. You're the bass player." And so that's how I started. So I got to stick with Malfunction. And then even last night, I listened to Apple, Mother Love Bone, and it still blows me away how great that album is.
Awesome. All right. Who else wants to jump in? Favorite Northwest?
I'll go. I would say all of them. I mean, Pearl Jam, you know, Soundgarden, all the greats, but I was a huge fan of Grundtruck, man.
Yeah.
It was something that just resonated with me. That whole crew, I saw them live about 3 or 4 times, and they were like a super group that just never broke out of Seattle on the level they should have. I thought Grundtruck was one of the great Seattle bands of all time.
Oh yeah,
totally.
So Andy, let's go with
Andy since we can't see Andy, what about you, man? Favorite Northwest band of all time?
Heart.
Yes.
Heart. Yes. Here's a good one. Okay.
Absolutely.
Love that band.
Great band. That's my dad's favorite band of all time.
Nice.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Well, Joe Ravencroft is here. Will you go let him in? Thank you. He needs a card. We got our pianist here now too.
We've added a keyboard player to the band too.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah,
he's going to come on in and join us.
Brody, Marty, what's your favorite?
Hold on,
Marty,
we got to ask the youngin' what's his favorite.
I'm interested
Brody.
In this one.
Oh, wow. MTR Project.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Good
nice.
Answer.
Good answer.
Marty, what about you, man?
Oh, man. Shout out to John DeSpeckman from 10 Miles yes. Wide. 10 Miles Wide, 100%.
Awesome. 100%. Wow. He's yes, absolutely, and Mean Genius as well.
Yeah. They rehearse across the hall. We're in 23. They're in 26.
Tell Tony I said what's up. Nice.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it out under their door for you.
There you go. Awesome. Tell them they owe me $20. No, I'm just kidding.
It'll be on the note.
We'll collect for you, brother. Don't worry about it.
I'm just joking. That's okay. Cool, man. Well, All right. So what's the best way to support you guys? What's the just check out the record, check out the album. Can we do you guys have it on physical or is it just streaming right now?
Yeah, we're getting a physical album on vinyl on the 19th. Wow. Is when we're supposed to get it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, because we got to show it Slim's Last Chance that day.
Yes.
But, you know, if not, then it'll be a couple days after that. But definitely by the 21st or 22nd of this month. MTRproject.com, as Mike just said, we do have a website. You can check us out there. We have a merchandise site. You just hit the little three lines at the top right and your screen, bam, it'll bring you to our whole menu.
Yep.
And
album's available off there, and you can listen to it on that.
Yep.
For any streaming platform.
Yeah.
Worldwide that way.
Yep. MTR Project on all that, Spotify and iTunes and Amazon.
Yeah. Apple.
Order
some guitars from Andy.
Guitars. Yeah, we all played the Hatred guitars. That's a benefit of playing in Andy's band.
I was just telling Glenn Cannon about the Hatred. I was like, I turn around, I show him my shirt. I was like, see this? Powered by the Hatred, man. And he goes, oh, man, dude, I got to get my hands on one of those. So, yeah. And it's the truth. They're the best guitar. Yeah, once you go to Hatred, you're gonna never want to pick up a Gibson. Sorry, Gibson.
True story, though.
If it's good enough for Prince, I think it's good enough for anyone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Very particular.
Absolutely.
His instruments were made, but I'll tell you, for being a person that came from the streets and then walking into Andy Beach's shop and picking up the actual template that made that guitar for the Super Bowl kind of blew my mind. I still kind of trying to wrap my mind around that, that one. You know, I'm a fan of
Prince. You guys have an inspiring story, man. I didn't even know. You know, I just dug the tunes, but it's been a pleasure to chat with you guys this Friday night, you know, and it's been cool. I'm glad that we were able to make this happen. And you guys got any shout outs or thank yous before we jump into the last song here?
Thank you, Kevin Deers.
Yeah, everything you do for the local music scene, man. It means so much to all of us. Thank you so much.
You're fantastic, brother.
You're keeping rock alive, man.
Appreciate it.
It's my honor, man. It's my honor. Thank you guys very much. And we're going to go into the song Beautiful Snake. What can we say about Beautiful Snake?
Yeah, Marty.
Oh my God, that song is about having your suspicions about your the person you're with. You think that they're creeping on you, and you're pretty sure that when you left, you know, it's like, all right, there's a couple lines. This is kind of funny. I got to explain it now.
Sure.
All right, like, you know, it's been a long time since I've been home. Then why is my throne still warm? You know, it's I'm the only one that sits there. Why is it still warm? And then you go into, it's been a long time since I wore my crown, but when I do, I wear it upside down. That's a reference to a toppled over kingdom because I felt like my castle was destroyed. This is about a horrible breakup.
Well, and I'll say real quick, if I have like 10 seconds there. So the night that we were doing that, he was like singing lines and didn't know what he just said. So we were like writing it down as he was going.
Like freestyling.
Yeah, we had his dad Rich in the corner with paper and pen just slamming down lyrics as they were happening live. And it was one of the great moments in my music history of recording because it was the most organic thing I've ever been a part of. And then we listened back to the original take and I looked around and everybody in the room was crying.
I want you guys to meet our keyboard player. We just brought him in.
What's going on, man?
The songs. His name's Joe Ravencroft.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, brother?
Good. Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. We're about to play a song. So you got any shout outs you want to throw in there?
I love this band.
There you go.
Beautiful Snake.
Beautiful Snake, baby.
It's a loud and local stay home session. Here's MTR Project with Beautiful Snake.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.